Hey friends, before we get this episode started, I want to let you know that our newsletter, Least Important Things Monthly, is now live. We had our first edition last month, and thank you all for subscribing so far. If you haven't subscribed, here's a little incentive. For our first 100 subscribers, that also includes folks who already have subscribed, you'll be getting a free Least Important Things sticker that you can put on your laptop, on your water bottle. Maybe you can post that at your local coffee shop, news bulletin board, or hey, you know what? What you use with it, whether you stick it on a pole or, you know, you deface property with it, I can't control that. And I'm not telling you to do that, but hey, I can't control it. You know, maybe you want to buzz market your local community with your least important thing sticker. I can't stop you from doing that. So I'm not telling you to do it, but you could do it. And that's part of it. So please go to our website, www.leastimportantthings.com, and there's a button to subscribe to our newsletter, or you can just click the link in the show notes. Least Important Things Monthly is really an opportunity for me to connect with you outside of the episodes. We'll be sharing what's coming up next month, what we had talked about the previous month, and a lot of it's going to be your thoughts, your musings on the most important of the least important things. And hopefully it'll be a fun treat that you get in your inbox once a month and will be a distraction from all the other things going on in your life. Okay, that's enough of me until you get some more of me. On with the episode. Disclaimer, there's going to be some spoilers in this episode for some well-known television shows like Battlestar Galactica, The Sopranos, Schitt's Creek, Game of Thrones, but I'll try to keep it not too specific on the spoilers, so more general. But just as you're aware, there could be some spoilers in this episode. My wife has an interesting habit. She doesn't like to finish TV shows. Specifically, she refuses to watch the finale episode. For example, like many across North America, we fell in love with the low-budget Canadian sitcom Schitt's Creek. The show became a surprise hit, in part to the binging adoption via Netflix, but more importantly, the clever writing by father and son duo Dan and Eugene Levy, and the striking performances by a veteran cast from Second City and lovable newcomers. The show has that perfect balance that you want in a sitcom of quirky and clever comedy with heartfelt character development. My wife and I sprinted through the series, but she couldn't bear watching the final episode. So we're about to watch the finale of the television show Schitt's Creek. We've watched this show maybe twice through. It's a great show. It's humorous. It's quirky. It's heartfelt. It's happy. But we have not watched the finale. You refuse to watch the finale. Why do you think that is? This is Audrey Ferris reporting.
That's a really good question. I haven't had enough time to prepare my answer, but now that I'm on the spot, I've refused to watch the finale because I'm sad that the show is over, and I think if I don't finish it, it's like it's not going to end. So we can keep rewatching it, and it just feels like it's still going. Once we watch the finale, it's really done. The character stories get wrapped up. I don't want that to happen.
It's the wrap-up that's the scary thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't want to hear the wrap-up. I think I'm going to be disappointed maybe too. I'm scared to see what they do. I love the show. I don't want to get mad. Sometimes when a show you love ends, it gives you a lot of negative emotion, and I don't want that. I don't want it to be tainted.
You don't want the ending to taint the experience you had, the journey that you had with the show and the characters. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But I'm forcing you to do this.
I'm very unwilling.
But we're doing it. Okay, here we go. The series finale of Schitt's Creek. Here we go.
No, what happened? Who died?
Who died?
Did Patrick die?
No, Patrick didn't die, David.
Then why did you startle me awake like this? My mind went straight to some kind of unthinkable tragedy, like something really, really bad.
When you finish a TV show, whether binged over a winter weekend or watching season by season over a decade, there's a deep, dark pit of emotion that embalms you as the final credits roll. a show hole. You're listening to a podcast called Least Important Things. I'm your host, Luke Ferris. Unlike most movies that capture a story in 2.5 hours or 2 hours, a TV show is a long-term relationship that is more about repetitive comfort than the shock and awe of a night at the theater. It's why taking a chance on a movie is really low risk. At least you got out of the house and got some theater popcorn. TV is a unique commitment. It's why when you go out to dinner with friends, they'll pitch you a TV show like it's someone they're trying to set you up with. If TV is going steady, films are a one-night stand. That's why the conclusion of a television show, whether it's a network hit or a cult favorite, is such a big deal for people. Take friend of the show, Zach Hall. Here's how he felt when one of his favorite television shows of all time, Battlestar Galactica, finished. The three-part Daybreak finale of Battlestar Galactica gets me every time. It's a huge, victorious final crescendo for the first two episodes, with the final hour filled with goodbyes and new beginnings. It's a huge wave of emotions. When the tide recedes, I have to say a final goodbye to some of my favorite characters in sci-fi. And I can't help but let the tears stream. But Zach's not the only one with this feeling. Here's what some other folks said about what TV show finale made them sad. Eliza says, "Psych, I didn't want it to end." At WIS.James99 says, "Peaky Blinders." At B_Saunders61 says, "Big Bang Theory." Caitlin said Friends, which was one of the most watched television episodes of all time. John said Northern Exposure. We never get to really know what happens to Dr. Joel Fleischman, and we are left assuming that he became a bush doctor in the Alaskan wilderness instead of returning to Manhattan. At Vivi Cellini said Mad Men. Daniel said Dawson's Creek. I'm still processing it. Tucker said The Office. People hated the last few seasons, but the last three episodes are so good. Lee said, The Leftovers, but to be fair, when was that show not sad? Josie says, Parenthood. And Kristen says, Schitt's Creek. And there are many more that feel that pit when their favorite TV show ends. I think it's because TV shows allow us, the audience, to see a dramatic transformation of characters. You feel their pain, their history, their loss, because you've gone on the same journey with them. You've invested 20, 40, 60, 80 hours of your life with these fictional characters. An abrupt conclusion invokes a little death. I think that's why there is a true mourning period at the end of a television show. But unlike the real world, the finality of TV shows are rarely as definitive as the finality of life. I started writing this episode before the terrible news of Matthew Perry's passing, who played Chandler in Friends. Obviously, it's always sad when an artist who portrays a beloved character passes away, and it just reminded me of this conversation about the feeling of when a show concludes and seeing the outpouring for this artist and this character reminds me that there is a blurred line between the television characters that we love and the people who portray them, and that sadness, that feeling when we lose them as a person in real life connects with when we lose them as a character in the show. However, the beautiful thing about real life versus television is that when these scenarios happen, we do have an opportunity to see them again. to experience them again through these characters. Talk or watch interviews with any writer, showrunner, or actor, and they'll all say that the conclusion of a show is one of the trickiest things to do in television. One of the reasons is you're probably not going to make everyone or anyone really happy because no one wants it to end. Even the most popular TV shows of all time have had some of the most divisive finales. Friend of the show Andy explains about one of his favorite shows that had a controversial ending.
Easy answer for this one, Luke, How I Met Your Mother. And not because I hate it still, but in the moment I did. In the moment I was frustrated that we didn't get the climactic conclusion of One Big Happy Family. And instead, it was just another route to get to Robin with Ted. And as I've grown older and wiser, I've actually come to appreciate how they ended that series, because ultimately the series was not about the mother. Really, the mother was only in season 9. The entire rest of the series was about Ted and Robin, and that was really the main focus of the show. And so them circling back to that relationship, I really have no problems with it. And ultimately, that's really what they were working towards for the entire of the series. Some may hate it still, and I get it, but I loved that show.
But that's not it. Aaliyah said Game of Thrones, which had a very divisive finale or even final season. And my friend Rob texted me about another finale of another popular HBO show, The Sopranos. When I was watching, I thought I was on the second to last episode, not the series finale. So I was watching on my iPad in bed while my wife fell asleep. The series finale, that finale hit. I let out an audible yell that woke up my wife. I had no idea I was watching the finale. I became angry, incredibly sad, incredibly happy, and incredibly, incredibly impressed, all at once. Then I teared up. Not knowing it was the series finale was a beautiful experience that I don't think I'll ever have with a television show ever again. I talked to my friend Dana. He mentioned Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sex and the City, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and 6 Feet Under, all finales that were highly acclaimed and really wrapped up the best of the show and the characters. Dana also mentioned one of his favorite shows, Teen Wolf. The finale of Teen Wolf was so-so and didn't end as strong as it could have, I feel. And a lot of the times that's just due to the nature of a television show, either running for 7, 8, 9 seasons and actors tend to leave, they move on to bigger projects, and the show kind of loses steam. But all those emotions are still there, whether it was a controversial ending, a sad ending, a happy ending, a definitive ending, a reasonable ending, or a conclusive ending. It all goes back to that emotion of facing a show whole. The show whole feeling reminds me the days following a return from summer camp. There was a little depression and sadness. I wouldn't see my friends all day, every day again until next summer. The exact meal times and the excitement of something new every day at camp. The same thing happens with a TV show that we miss. Sure, we can return to them and do a full rewatch, which many of us do with our favorite shows, but we'll never walk side by side with the characters because we'll never have the what's next feeling. All right, if you didn't go to summer camp as a kid, how about this? A breakup. It's something that we probably all have experienced or known somebody who's had a breakup or a bad breakup. And it's that feeling that loss of not having that person with you day to day, not having that connection. It's all a similar feeling. Now, I might be being a bit dramatic, but it's that same emotion that we get in a breakup, returning from summer camp, that we have with the ending of a television show. Mm-hmm. That's why the industry cannot help returning to these characters. From Sex and the City to Star Trek The Next Generation, a lot of studios are falling back on that repetitive feeling and emotion and connection that we have with characters. But universally, it really never feels the same as the original series. I messaged with Lydia about this. She talked about how Bones lost its way in the end and didn't really honor the characters. She also talked about Frasier's ending. And I asked her, how did you feel about Frasier coming back? Here's what she said. I've not started it yet. It feels like without the other characters, though, it'll be a bit of a struggle. I think I'll probably just have to see it as essentially a different show. But it's hard to think of it that way. I'm interested to see how they account for everyone else being gone. That challenge of recapturing that original feeling is so difficult. It's why Jerry Seinfeld has publicly said he will never go back to Seinfeld. Speaking of Seinfeld, was that actually a finale? It didn't really feel like it. It was almost the anti-finale. Seinfeld, one of the most successful TV shows of all time, is really the exception of the show whole because the characters barely have an arc over its 7 seasons. And you can pop in and out of the episodes without having any context. Much like the golden age of television, with I Love Lucy, Bewitched, etc. Anyways, back to Audrey and I watching Schitt's Creek. How do you feel? We finally concluded Schitt's Creek.
I'm sad.
Oh, that's exactly what we thought would happen.
I was right. You were right. There's some regret, but mostly none. It was a good conclusion.
Yeah, it was a happy and complete conclusion.
But it was a little too close to real life, which is the purpose in not finishing it, because it's the feeling that we've all got, you know, when something ends and you have to move on. And I want to have that when I'm in my non-reality. So thanks for bringing me back down to earth where I didn't want to be. Thank you.
The good news is with streaming, a new show just starts. Like, this is immediately starting New Girl.
Yeah.
Ironically, have we ever finished this show?
No, and we never will. I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to make it on the pod, but you have to answer honestly. Did you already watch the Schitt's Creek ending without
me? No, I didn't. I didn't, I promise.
I don't believe you.
No, I absolutely promise. I haven't. I don't know about you guys, but committing to a television show is comforting. There's a cycle, almost like the seasons of nature, I mean, not seasons of a show, obviously. Nature moves in and out of our lives every 2 to 3 months, and there's a calming routine of the changing of seasons. And when you stop and start a new TV show, it's like moving from the energetic, bright season of summer to the cool, crisp, amber-toned pace of fall. So whether it's delving into a world of a bunch of friends living in an apartment in New York City, or a small town in Hawkins, Indiana, or a starship in another galaxy, these stories give us a consistency that they'll always be there for us. These characters will always be there for us and give us, and give me, and give you a sense of peace in a world of chaos, which is insane. It's insane. But these characters and stories, these consistent themes and drama, no matter what your life looks like, no matter how much money you make, no matter where you live, you probably have a TV show that you consistently watch that gives you that sense of comfort to get through the day, the week, the months, or the years. Embrace the show hole. Embrace the morning. Because it's better to have not binged and lost than not binged at all. And guess what? Your next show is only a few clicks away. You just need to be willing to open up your heart, meet some new characters, and commit 60, 70 hours of your life to following their stories. Least Important Things is a podcast about the most important of the least important things in our lives. It's hosted and produced by me, Luke Ferris, Executive produced by Jay Ferris. Logo and brand designed by Curtis Felton. If you want to get involved with the show, please visit our website, www.leastimportantthings.com. You can find me on social media at Luke H. Ferris on Instagram, at Least Important Things on TikTok, and you can subscribe to our newsletter. All the info is in the show notes. And get involved. You can also leave a voicemail, and you can find that in the show notes or by going to our website. And until next time, I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Oh, my.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Frasier has left the building.